An Easter Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on April 15, 2001, in the series A Fresh Look at an Ancient Story, entitled An Invitation to Life. The texts for the sermon are Psalm 16, verses 5 through 11, 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9, and 19 through 29, and John 5, verses 1 through 9. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
If you don't get enough Easter this morning, you can tune in to your television station this evening. There are some specials going on, and you probably have been reading about them as I have. There's a long special on the Discovery Channel on the face of Christ. Apparently, there's an archaeologist that has studied Jewish skulls going back through all the diggings, a couple of thousand of them, and then a medical artist who has his specialty is putting flesh to bone, and now there is another head of Jesus to compete with Solomon's head of Christ, which is so famous in our experience. Last year, the National Catholic Reporter had a contest for the image of Jesus for the third millennium. And the winner was a woman by the name of Janet McKenzie, who painted an African-American woman. And, of course, that caused a little bit of stir amongst the faithful. But her point was, of course, that Jesus, the Liberator, in that image, what was being conveyed is that there are still those that need to be freed, liberated. And so there's going to be this long special about images of Christ tonight. There's another one, The Face of Christ in Art. And in all of these, it's interesting that we should be concerned about it, if we are, because as I reflected on it in terms of Easter and this morning, I was struck by the fact that the important thing is not what Jesus looked like, but that he was indeed human. That is the critical matter. And I say that in the light of our understanding of the reality of which we're a part. A cosmic process that they tell us has been going on for some 15 billion years, perhaps. And that cosmic process, with all of the complexity and all of the fascination of that development, should issue in creatures like us, human beings who are conscious and aware, who give the universe a voice, creatures who are able to reflect on that whole process and to wonder at it. And that among those human beings, there should have been one Jesus, the Christ. Now that's amazing. If you want to speak of miracle, that's a miracle. That this process has eventuated in the human, and that among the humans there should have been one Jesus. That's the wonder of it all, and that's the critical matter. Not what did he look like, but that he was genuinely bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. You might have already seen this weekend another TV special that is created by the Coral Ridge Ministries. I made reference to it an earlier time when I saw it, perhaps around the Christmas season, about this, who is this real Jesus? And this is produced by D. James Kennedy. And if you would catch that, you will see that the concern about what Jesus looked like is not evident at all. There is no concern. But there is a concern, and that is the facticity of the resurrection, that Jesus, who was crucified, as a matter of fact, walked out of the tomb. And this word fact comes through often. And the point is, of course, in this evangelical understanding of the Easter miracle, that it was Jesus who died as the sin-bearer for the world, who was raised by God, as an indication that that sin offering was accepted. And if you would listen to that and watch that video, it will conclude with the sinner's prayer, where you will acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you believe that Christ died for your sin, and that you ask for forgiveness and claim the promise then of heaven. That, of course, is the old traditional conception of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. So you can see that tonight, too. And that still speaks to millions and millions of people. I was reminded of the fact that when I went to Europe in 1967, the resurrection was the hot topic. There had been 100 years of European scholarship in which no one hardly dared speak about the resurrection. There was still the impact of the Enlightenment, and miracle was not one of the possibilities. And so certainly no one dared speak about the resurrection of Jesus. But about the time I got there, there was a whole class of students who were the students of the great Barth and Bultmann, and they were beginning to think again and speak again about the resurrection, and that the New Testament really couldn't be understood apart from the New Testament. And their emphasis, what they had hold of, was not like the Coral Ridge video, Jesus dying for sin and being raised again, but rather Jesus being raised in the midst of history as the illuminator of history. And I can remember how powerful that was at the time. A theologian named Bultmann spoke about the theology of hope. And there was this whole emphasis on the resurrection of Jesus as the sign of the future consummation, when all of the promises of God would be realized and the kingdom of God would come fully into view. And that was an important moment for me, frankly, personally, that resurrection in the midst of history. In fact, I came back to this congregation in 1971 under false pretenses. They thought I was the same one that I left in, that left in 1964. But anyway, the one thing that I did say to them early on was, give me Jesus and the resurrection, and the rest is negotiable. As I've been thinking about Easter 2001 and this morning, I realize that my conception of things continues to grow. My sense of God, my appreciation for Jesus, and my sense of what the whole cosmic drama is about. So that it's not that sin offering, and it's not even the fact that in the midst of history there's a sign of history's ultimate culmination. As I thought about it, the important thing for me is that life of Jesus, that life of Jesus. As I said a moment ago, that in the course of this cosmic process, out of this tapestry of swirling energy, there should have arisen not only a human being, but one like Jesus. And as I thought about it, I thought, you know, Easter one time for me meant the solution to the problem of death. And the resurrection of Jesus was to be celebrated because it signed the conquering of death. But that isn't nearly so important for me today. What is really important is that life. That life that was lived in the midst of our history. That life that confronted power with truth. That spoke truth to power. That spoke against all systems of domination and oppression. That life that revealed the heart of God, full of mercy and compassion. That spoke for justice and equity. Jesus, that magnificent life. That's the important thing. That he died trusting God, of course. But that he lived out of vision, the vision of what he believed was the divine intention. That's the amazing thing to me today. And then as I thought about that, I thought, well, then what is Easter? Well, Easter is what happened when his followers had the same experience I did. After the disappointment of his death, their fear and their fading into the woodwork, they began to come together again. And they said, "My God, he's still with us. He's alive. He's alive with God, and he's present with us." What they began to see, that what he was is what God is. And they knew that what he was, which is what God is, can never finally be defeated, can never finally be executed, can never finally be rubbed out. For one way or another, in one form or another, what Jesus was a reflection of the divine intention. It was a reflection of that love and that mystery at the heart of things. And you can crucify it, you can execute it, you can try to put it away, you can stamp it out, only so long, and it rises again. What he was is what God is. The divine lover. The divine intention, the sacred at the center of things, that will not be defeated, that will not finally be overcome. That's why we live with an indomitable hope. That's why we have this annual celebration, this affirmation of faith, that all the wonder and the beauty and the truth, the integrity and the magnificence of that one life can never be overcome, never be defeated, never finally be put out. For the light will shine in the darkness and continue to shine. And finally, no matter how dark the abyss, life will return. And Jesus is an invitation to life. You can get all of the images in the scripture. You can get the Coral Ridge image. You can get the hope and history image. And even in John's gospel, there is that paragraph back to back, the word of Jesus that gives life to the dead. Some of them, the living dead. And in the next paragraph, the dead in the tomb. It's all there. All of the images are there. All the scenarios are there. But for me, on this Easter, I celebrate Easter because of the life of Jesus and what he was is what God is. And that's why I follow him. Not because he died, but because he lived. And when I come to this table, I take bread and cup in order that I may be in solidarity with Him. And taking bread and cup, I receive that promise that to the end of the age, He'll be with me. The lure of love at the heart of things came to expression in one Jesus. Now there's a life and an invitation to true living.